Hey everybody, I've got an unusual one for you today, so let's have some fun. There's a joke among experienced physicians. They share this joke about the changing of the guard. They say, "Don't get sick in July." Today I'm going to discuss a few concerns about when to seek treatment. Some of these are the results of studies, and the debates continue as to whether or not they are truth or myth. I bring this up now because currently it's late July, and the more famous one I'm going to talk about is in July. In fact, it's called the July effect. The initial study seemed to spawn a cascade of other studies, and all were about the effects of healthcare delivery, error, infections, adverse effects, and death rates. As I researched, I would review studies that made sense, and then I'd read one that didn't support the first one. Then it was a part of a healthcare encounter for a loved one myself that debunked much of what I'd read and adopted. So I have a real and personal story for you today. Lastly, I'll cover what all of us can do to remain safe in a hospital encounter any month, any day, anytime. So, fact or fiction, truth or myth, urban legend, let's take a look. In the past years, there's been an ongoing discussion as to whether or not to have surgery or even be in the hospital in July. Here's why. There exists a phenomenon called the July effect. The July effect refers to a time when teaching hospitals experience a sharp increase in medication errors, which just happens to coincide with the July arrival of new residents, medical students who graduated in June and are to begin their first year of residency training or internship. This group is eager, new interns entering the hospital to learn, care for patients, and to make medical decisions. The idea has been floated and studied that July brings about an increase in medical errors, resulting in harm to the patient. An often cited study is the 2011 Journal of General Internal Medicine that reported a 10% spike in teaching hospital deaths during the month of July due to medical errors. Calling it the July effect, that spike was attributed to the influx of new interns and residents who enter their hospital training in, you guessed it, July. The rationale there was that even though medical students receive rigorous academic education, they may lack the experience required to make sound medical decisions, especially involving medication. Therefore, it was thought that they might not recognize certain symptoms that indicate a drug reaction, an infection, or another type of complication. They may not have had time to master the protocols of documentation and other important hospital procedures. Furthermore, doctors in training are often sleep deprived, which can increase in the risk of medical mistakes. Plausible, I thought. It's possible, I suppose, but whether you believe or adopt this kind of thinking into your healthcare decisions, that's up to you. Before we pin this effect of entry of new residents alone, let's talk about multiple studies on cause and effect. Let's look at some other factors that can be contributing. More studies, and there have been plenty. Let me just say, I am glad there are studies. Thanks for minding the store. We need eyes on healthcare and from many directions. Scrutiny brings about improvements and safety. Yes, new students enter the scene in July, but what about summer vacation season? When the more experienced staff are requesting their time off in July? Might that also leave patients at risk for patient safety errors? If that's true, might the holiday seasons in December or 3-day weekends like Memorial Day or Labor Day also present challenges to patient safety? Now, I'd be remiss and you'd become bored if I didn't mention other factors that have been explored that are similar to this line of thinking. And, oh, there's more. What other factors could we consider relative to the seeking treatment that are similar to this July effect? What about June? June could be problems, some professionals say, because there's a general assumption that those aforementioned residents are competent by their 11th month. They're at their 11th month level, and so the work is less stringently overseen. The residents are tired, sometimes burn out, or their eyes are thinking about the next steps of their career. Then there's one called the birthday effect. This was a study whose findings suggest or demonstrate how surgeons might be distracted by life events. What does that mean? Were surgeons less focused around a birthday? Were they rushing their surgery to get home sooner and start the celebration? Did the excitement of a birthday somehow affect their physical performance in surgery? All of these potential explanations are speculative, since the study I read didn't focus on exactly what or why the results were being observed. Now, I'm not trying to spread misinformation here. I'm looking at these studies to see if they'll hold water, if there's trends, something that can pass muster, still cannot hold water. Again, I wish to express my gratitude to anybody who studies this stuff. Thank you for your work. I want to also encourage everybody, as consumers of our healthcare information, to look deeper into the research, how it was performed, what it rendered, and for whom it may apply. Extensive research has been conducted on this July effect in years past. The studies I read yielded a range of results, from substantial increases in patient deaths and other serious outcomes to surgeries and minor mistakes that didn't result in any significant harm. Which is right? Does it matter? It can. Even a small mistake can be dangerous to high-risk patients. Even a small mistake can be dangerous for high-risk patients such as the elderly and those with compromised immune systems or underlying medical conditions. High-risk patients are certainly a for whom it may apply population. For example, one study rendered that in July, of the high-risk patients who came to teaching hospitals with heart attacks, the risk of death went from 20 to 25%. Yeah, you can bet I am studying the studies. Who performed them? When? How? Margins for error. Were they studying errors or preventable harm or deaths or adverse outcomes? And what is meant by all those definitions? The devil's in the details, after all. I spent a good amount of time reading studies published in BMJ, which is a health informatics outfit, Harvard Medical School, Stanford University Hospitals, University of Southern California, and the RAND Corporation, and even the Annals of Thoracic Surgery. What I noticed was that most of the studies and the articles surrounding that July effect seemed to taper off after about 2017. Every article I read, one would lend credence to the idea of the July effect, and the other would discredit the idea. My hunch is that the one in 2011 that reported that spike and gave it the name, that likely spawned more research. The articles commenting and citing the studies and the other things I read extended into 2017, 2018. And then not so much. Has subsequent research debunked this July phenomenon? Has it become a lingering and rather interesting urban legend? And don't get me wrong, I am glad research occurs and that it's being reported, But methinks we as consumers may be comparing apples and oranges, only to glom on to something sensational that says we have a July problem. We in America do love a sensational headline, do we not? All of this stuff makes sense. It certainly could be. I feel a little more like the TV pitch guy, Billy Mays, when I say to you, but wait, there's more. As long as we're looking at July or even June, holidays, vacation, there's another factor that could come into play with this kind of thinking. Time of day. Researchers found that patients whose procedures began between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. were 50% more likely to develop complications compared to patients with a surgical start time of 7 a.m. and before 9 a.m. I remember one 5-year study by the World Federation of Societies of Anesthesiologists in 2016 found that patients who have a surgery during the night are twice as likely to die as patients operated on during regular working hours. A possible explanation for their findings is known as the after-hours effect or the weekend effect. When a task is done outside normal time frames, after hours or weekends, the outcomes for that task are statistically worse. Well, one study begets another, and you and I are the ones that can lump all this data together or make gross generalizations. I know I have. I had adopted the time of day theory because it seemed plausible and logical to me. And then I had an encounter that debunked it for me, front and center. Hear my story. From what I'd heard and read, it made good sense to me to go for early surgeries, the power hour, as some people call them. I agreed that when scheduling surgery, time of day could very well matter. I'd always request or recommend the second or third slot in the morning. The theory being that any kinks in the team's coordination or machinery could have been worked out, and the medical team is still fresh. Then it became time for unexpected surgery for a loved one of mine. A medical appointment deemed her matter to be much worse than we thought, and surgery was offered 3 days later. Good, I thought, in that she won't have time to become too anxious about it. But what I heard this provider offer was an opening that he just happened to have this Friday at 3:30 p.m. I provided counsel to my loved one, aware and citing factors that could be part of her decision. My loved one opted to proceed. On the day of the surgery, and as fate would have it, our city was feeling the effects of a hurricane. Let's just say there were power outages and delays affecting every part of our city that day. When I and my loved one arrived the required 2 hours early for the 3:30 p.m. surgery, the storm was in full swing. At the check-in desk, I noticed that hers was the sole remaining wristband and paperwork laid out. We were told there had been delays, and an expectation was set for a 5:30 p.m. surgery start rather than 3:30. As we sat there waiting, I ruminated over the July effect, the time of day effect, and wondering if there might even be a Friday last day of surgery effect. Or a hurricane effect. As for how the encounter went for my loved one, it went well. She had a terrific pre-op visit with the surgeon, even asking the surgeon if he needed to take a break first. Please take one, she said. She was taken into surgery not at 3:30, not at 5:30, but at 7:30 p.m. I returned to the lobby to wait and was informed that this lobby was being closed. The staff was going home. I was relocated to sit alone in a small lobby whose front doors had malfunctioned during the hurricane and were stuck open. I was cold and damp and zipped up in my windbreaker and hoodie. I started to receive the comforting text, the surgery is underway. Then a text that the surgery was completed. Further texts informed me that my loved one had been moved to a recovery room, and then I would soon be able to meet her in a hospital room. I sat there watching hospital staff come and go, and I recognized the surgeon who was preparing to exit the hospital. His day was completed. Somehow he recognized me in my rain suit and hoodie, and he came over to debrief me. He was still fresh and communicative. The procedure had gone well. He expected no problems. He asked if I had questions and he gave me his cell number. That conversation debunked all the effects for me right then and there. As much as I'd been operating under the July effect, the time of day effect, and manufacturing the hurricane effect in my mind, my loved one and I had done our part. We had arrived prepared and had remained vigilant, which is what we all can do. Continue with knowledge and proceed with watchful eyes. Let's shift into solution, because you all know I love to live in the solution. And prevention and avoiding preventable errors never goes out of style for a patient advocate. Let's talk about common sense and recommendations surrounding surgery and hospital stays. There are some things we can all do to ensure our hospital encounters go well in any month and at any time of day. The first one is communicate. The key is communication. Discuss with your provider concerns you may have about surgeries or hospital stays. Speak up. As such, or during such, if you have concerns about the July effect or vacations or time of day, then talk about that and make your own best decision when you have the most information. Make your own best decisions when you have the most information. Next is move. If you're now wary of July variables, whether truth or urban legend, then move your procedure or appointment. Act. Act upon what is important to you. If having that power hour seems important to you for surgery, then ask for the second or third slot in the morning. Know what to do if questions arise. Think post-visit or post-procedure or post-discharge. Take this question with you to every encounter. Who do I contact if I have questions? Ask that question at every appointment. Who do I contact if I have questions? Make sure you know what to do, who to contact, and how. I can't emphasize this enough. Let us all take and remember tried and true actions that we all have before us. Have with you a current list of your medications. Take them with you to appointments if you need to. Scoop them up on your way to the ER even. If your provider has a medical portal for you, get to know and use that. You might find that response and answers to your questions come quicker using their tool. Hire a patient advocate to guide you through your case. You know, we educate. We provide you with the options. We're looking up and down the line on your behalf. We support you and your decisions. Have somebody, whether advocate or family member or loved one, with you always. They can ask questions that the patient may not have thought of, or because they know their loved one or patient, they understand what he or she might be anxious about or unclear about. By acting as that extra set of eyes and ears, these key people can keep track of your treatment and may prevent errors that would otherwise go unnoticed. Begin to journal the course of events. Have your patient advocate or loved one who's with you take that over when you're unable. You'll always hear me sing-song my recommendation along these lines. I'll say, chrono, because you never know. Meaning write it down chronologically, everything that happens. You may need to refer to it later. But if not, great. But if you ever do need to know when the time and day that the medications were changed, or when that blood pressure shot up, or what time the doctor rounded to give you your test results, then you'll have it. For the patient, for the family and friends, for a care issue, or simply a look back. And here is a terrific, effective, and free resource for your hospital stay. Before going in a hospital, and even while you are there, harness the power of the Care Partner Project, the work of patient advocate Karen Curtis, and her robust website offers free hospital care checklists. Empowering. The website is thecarepartnerproject.org. We can all learn a lot about staying safe and avoiding preventable errors. I'll place the link below this video. It is true, we make our best decisions when we have the most information. It's my belief that our best protection is from being aware, not paranoid or not misled. We make our best decisions when we have the most information. So think about the factors that might impact your planning or procedures. Know about infection protection. Ensure clarity of information, especially with medications, by communicating with your providers. Have somebody with you at appointments and when you're in the hospital. Understand discharge and your action steps for follow-up. My prescription for you, I'm not a doctor, but my prescription for you as a professional patient advocate would be to approach all of this with common sense and pragmatism. Maybe get a little methodical about it. It's been my experience that forethought and planning are good, will protect you, and I'll bet there are some studies on that. Contact me if you need some help in thinking through your particular situation and protecting yourself or a loved one when in the hospital. Summer's here. It's nearly July. I hope that all is and will remain well.